All right. Well, good morning. We're here with Matt Sangheili over in Norway. I think I just checked. It's 2 o'clock there.
It is, yeah.
Have you had a good day? Ours is just starting.
You know, it's just a day in the life of a small church pastor, missionary, evangelist. So lots of things happening, as always.
And tell us what's been going in the church plant pastor evangelist world.
Well, you can see we're still moving in, so my bookshelves are still empty behind me. I need to get books over, but we've been busy really moving the church to the new building, that we've been talking about. So that's been very exciting.
All right, well,
And
bring them on that real quick, just in case they haven't heard about the new building.
Yeah, so it took us about a year to get into this building, but about a year ago we identified a location that we could use for the church 24/7. As I think most of you know, we've been meeting at the Clarion Hotel Stavanger for the last almost 4 years, which has been great, but you have it for 4 or 5 hours on a Lord's Day and that's it. So we're really thankful that the Lord has provided a place for this church family to really call its own for the time being. We're right here on the fjord. It might be difficult to turn my screen, but it's a pretty cool location. We'll have military warships sailing by or cruise ships every morning. There's giant cruise ships going by. So we're actually on the mouth of the North Sea and the fjord. So really we really are kind of part of the gateway of the city, which we view symbolically in some ways and pray that we could be a gateway for the gospel, right? And for Christ's kingdom here in this part of the world. So I think time has flown by. I think we are 5 or 6 weeks in at the new building, something like that. And we're very, very thankful for it. So we've got the team busy working on getting furniture and decorations, and all those kinds of things. I forget what I know that you at Trinity have a some kind of committee that does decorations. But that's we're just starting on that. So we're just getting there.
Be careful.
What's that?
Be careful with that.
Be careful.
Good taste committee. We have to stay with it. We have
It's
to
a
make
good
sure.
taste committee. Yeah. We actually, in God's providence, this is kind of a neat story. There are Christians in the city, and we're very glad to know them. And in God's providence, we got connected to a Christian who works at one of the big office furniture businesses here in town. And he's basically given us a lot of what we need for cost. So I don't think he's making any profit whatsoever. And that's been a really cool godsend. So we've also, through him, been able to work with some interior kind of designers, kinds of people that know what they're doing. Because I certainly don't pretend to be that guy, nor do I want to be.
Tell us how the church is.
Yeah, so we've asked you to pray in our newsletters that the Lord would bring disciples who want to be discipled. And that's been a really big initiative of ours, that the Lord would bring us those people. In that process, he's also removed some people, which has been interesting. So we're about 20, 25 people on a Lord's Day. We are maybe about 10 people smaller than we've been. The biggest churches in town are 200, so it's kind of it's a perspective shift, and that's like one church in town that gets that big. Most churches are 50 maybe or smaller. So we're thankful for what the Lord has brought. But he's removed some people recently. And it's been, I think, good for the congregation, but it's also been really challenging. So there's a guy up in Bergen, an unordained, just young Baptist guy who has been actively telling the Norwegians to leave our church. And one family left because of that, and another young man has left because of that, and he's been spreading a lot of lies and slander about us in the ministry. So that's been really difficult to deal with. And so, you know, you've got we have a mix of the good and the hard. But for the people that are in the congregation, I think I can speak for the whole team right now. I mean, you look, you know, we're at that phase where you look around, you know everyone by name, and you know that you know their stories pretty well. But there is a true sense of unity and family with the congregation that the Lord has kept here. And so we're really thankful for that, but we're also praying vigilantly that the Lord would protect our people. This young man that left because of this guy, he was nice about leaving, but you could see how conflicted he was. Even his eyes, he looked glazed over. It's very hard to describe how he looked, but he was like, I don't know who to believe. I don't know if I should believe this guy or believe you. And, you know, other rumors from some of the conflicts we've been involved in are circulating in the small reform community too. So we have a lot of bad press right now. And this young man is, you know, he's like, I don't know what to do. And so he left. And that's been rough. We've been realizing that Norway is pioneering missions much more than you would think it is as a very developed Western country. But the paganism and the darkness is real, and we are pounding on the gates of Satan's kingdom as we do this ministry, and he isn't leaving us alone. We had a lady from Africa who recently said, and she's a trustworthy person, I think, said that she's like, I don't usually say things like this, but she's like, I saw a demon at the evening service, our first evening worship service. I'm like, well, what was he doing? He's like, it just looked like he was checking things out to see what we were doing. And so we've seen and heard some strange things. We've felt the darkness. One couple that left in a very toxic way, they were screaming me at the end, calling me a dictator, and just stormed out of the room. Me and Peter, my fellow ruling elder, were like, we just sat there in silence. But when I asked them to read scripture, and they just refused to do it. And then anyways, their faces they were nice. And then their faces just contorted. And the only way I could describe it is something out of Lord of the Rings. You know, when like Bilbo's in Rivendell and he sees the ring, you know, and his face shifts all of a sudden. It was that kind of experience, that we had. And this lady was yelling and screaming, and it's been wild. So we've had stuff like that going on. After that meeting, I actually went to the hospital because I thought I was having a heart attack.
Oh,
so I was having all these symptoms. I started driving home like, Deborah, can you look up these symptoms? I'm like, yeah, like my chest hurts. I've got this, you know, my hand feels a little numb. I'm like, what does it say? She says, it says, go to the ER immediately. So I drove back to church, and my colleague Peter, I'm like, hey, can you drive me over to the ER? So he did. And, you know, they observed me for 6 hours, and they said that my heart looked completely healthy, but they said it was extreme stress that was probably causing the symptoms. So, you know, we've got that kind of stuff happening. But yeah, that's maybe more than you wanted with your question.
What's the demographic of your church members right now? Are they Norwegian? Is there a mix?
We have lost almost all of our Norwegians to this extended controversy in the north and in the east, which has been really hard. So we have one Norwegian family that's very committed, and they've been with us from the beginning. And then we have another family. Their son left. Their son is like 20. I think he's 20. He left. The parents are still here. But we need to meet with them and just follow up in light of all of these events. We do have another Norwegian who's the father of one of my colleague Peter, who comes regularly as well. But everyone else is international. So we have a family from Indonesia worshiping with us. They're members. A couple, one is from Estonia, the other from Poland. We have a South African family. Let's see, who else do we have? We have a young man who, he's the one who converted from Islam, who we've written about in the past. He's from Chechnya, but grew up in Norway. You know, and some other folks like that. So we're very, very global. But we're hurting on the Norwegian side because of what's going on.
Right. Well, do the people in your community or in the area, do they go to a different church or are they just unchurched?
It's a mix of both, largely unchurched or post-church, you could say. I would say post-church might be a good way of describing it. Like I said, there's the largest church in town is a Pentecostal church. That'd be kind of New Apostolic Reformation. I don't know if that makes any sense, but these guys in America claiming to be capital A apostles, things like that. That's a church like that that's influenced by kind of the Bethel Redding movement, for example. They're about 200 people from what I've been told. And then there's just a smattering of a number of small churches. And then the former state churches here. But that's more something that very few people attend. And if they do, it's often for something like my kid, you know, is going to be confirmed, which doesn't mean anything spiritually, but it's like a rite of passage here. But I don't have, I can't give you really specific numbers. But the general feel is virtually no one goes to church. And if you do, you're pretty strange.
Well, how all the children doing? Are they in school? Do y'all homeschool them? Are they able to get out and have friends in the community in school?
Yeah, they're at the British International School. It's been, I think we're going on the second year for them there. And that's going okay. The boys were diagnosed with dyslexia. We're still working with the school to get that actually implemented for them, which they were diagnosed at the end of the year and we're, you know, a quarter of the way in and they still haven't had the official diagnosis given to the teachers. So we have parent teacher conferences this week and we need to deal with that. You know, when you're an international community, an international school, that's new and nobody's from around here. And so we try to be gracious with how slow things are, but we're also pretty concerned, especially for Luke, because this coming year he'll transition to what they call Videregående, which is, it's like the second half of high school where it really gets you on a job track. And it's just really vital that Luke gets what he needs for that transition. So there's a bit of family stress for me and Deborah, just how we navigate that with the school system. They have, in terms of friends, Luke has two friends. One he's closer to. They're both either agnostic or atheist. None of our friends really have Christian friends, or our kids have Christian friends, which is a struggle. William probably is the closest there. He has kind of two closer friends. One's German and the other is from Brazil. And his family is kind of follows an interesting kind of messianic Christian kind of thing. They don't go to church, but they think Saturday's the holy day and they don't eat, you know, they follow the kosher food diet, you know, so it's kind of, we have to kind of watch what he's being taught or, you know, what his dad is saying when he goes over. So that's interesting. Let's see, Penny, her two friends, one is Muslim and one is Hindu. And neither of her friends are ever allowed to come over to our house. Oh, so you know, that's kind of that situation. So nobody came to her birthday that, you know, they wanted, you know, that she was throwing. And then Mariah had, she's our most social person, and she's friends with a German family in town, which we've gotten to know. They're not Christians, but they're really open. They asked me tons of questions about the church when we've had them over or we've gone to their house. So we have a connection there, and you know, that's about it for the kids. So they miss, you know, the Trinity Children's Ministry or the, you know, the children's ministries they were in when I was serving in the U.S. So that's something that's a bit of a challenge. We have at the church, most of the kids are much younger. You know, most of the families in our church are just starting out and just having kids. So we have the old kids now. And there's one girl that's Mariah's age at church, and she's a nice young lady, as well, the Indonesian family that's here. So we're pretty small with a minor boom in the, you know, the infant to 3 year old kind of age.
Well, I remember when May Champion came home, it struck her that, you know, we take that for granted, having Christian friends for our kids, that your children don't have that as, you know, as accessible. So I remember that making an impression on her when she came back. Well, what about Deborah and her mom? How are they doing?
Yeah, Deborah's mom is doing all right. Her cancer numbers went up, but which led them to do another scan, but her tumors have shrunk. So they were down 25%. So that's really positive. She seems to be well enough to travel. So we're working on seeing if we can get her and Rob here for Christmas or the month of December. And that'd be a blessing to Deborah. So yeah, we're literally as like last night working on seeing if we can get them over to spend time. So, I mean, so she still has a terminal condition, but her treatment's been really effective in staving off any developments thus far. So we're very thankful for that. Deborah, I think, you know, if we are just being raw and honest, it's very hard to be in a foreign country with all the hostility and far away, you know, from her mom who is dying of cancer. And dealing with the school system and all the driving and, you know, missing having parents or friends like that can help, you know, with the village that can kind of help raise the kids. So, but she's a trooper. I'm really proud of her. She's just she's a godsend to me, of course. We're 17 years in and I'm very, 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 very thankful for her partnership and in all ways. But she could use prayers for encouragement and energy and all those things, you know. I think you just take a normal, like, church context and then you times it by 10, being overseas or 20 or I don't know what it is. And that's kind of how she's feeling right now. But she's leading a kids catechism class in our Sunday evening service, which is mostly our kids. You know, and then we've got, you know, the other, you know, the young gal from Indonesia who's in there too, that's Mariah's age, and they're working through the children's catechism. And then of course our adults were going through the shorter catechism in the evening service. So in the morning we exposit scripture, and in the evening service it's more catechetical focused and just keeping it really basic, because that's where our people are. And I tell Peter or Gideon, who preach or teach sometimes, I'm like, you need to boil it down to where you feel it's simple, and then cut it in half and make it 50% more. And then I think that's where we are. And it's really easy to just kind of go over people's heads, not only because of theological knowledge or Bible knowledge, but also because of the language difference. You know, almost everyone is, this is their second language. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to be mindful of that too. But yeah, anyways, I'm diverting from your question on Deborah, but yeah, pray for her and And she could use encouragement.
I know y'all are entering the, aren't you entering the season where it gets dark most of the time? And I remember.
Yeah, it's starting to get dark now. I can feel the daylight fading.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's tough. I know that gets hard in the winter months too.
Mm-hmm.
Who else has a question?
Yeah, Matt, you had some young guys doing theological training with you or with other places. Are those, you mentioned Peter and David, I assume they're the two that are hanging in there. Are there others too?
Yeah, all our other Norwegians have revolted. So the young guys we were working with have all left us. But, you know, Peter, my ruling elder, he's Norwegian. He's doing seminary work right now through Westminster in Newcastle, England. So he's in training, kind of doing online classes there. And Gideon, who's my other colleague here, he's, Lord willing, will be coming under care of Presbytery soon. We'd like to bring him on as an assistant minister here. And so you can pray for him. And he's wrapping up his PhD studies at Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. So both these brothers have been just fantastic. It's so nice to have some guys to serve with and who can help, you know, put shoulder to the yoke and all of that. But yeah, these young guys that were going to the local seminary, which is really liberal, have left. Mm-hmm. And I think you knew in the newsletter that the church we planted in Ueland about 70 minutes, they broke away from us because of paedo communion and following federal vision theology, which, you know, our denomination worked very hard to get rid of. And the other church in Hamar that we helped planted is actually folded. So the other one that kind of broke away, they're no more as a church. But I am scheduled to have a call with one of the core families out there that wanted to connect with us. So you can pray for that meeting. They're still in Hamar. Yeah, so we've seen a lot of most of the early development pretty much get destroyed from these initial years. But I do see it as actually positive, even though it's been really hard to endure. Because it's filtered and clarified. We know more where people really are. And we're able to focus on this church more and discipling these people. And so I think that in the long run, it's a good thing. And we trust God's providence in bringing all that about. But we've also learned to be a lot more kind of patient and discerning with zealous people. You know, as well intentioned as they may appear at the time, just be more cautious going forward in the future. So, yeah.
How's your personal financial picture, but also then for the church with this new building, but somewhat fewer people now? Is that working out okay, or how's that look?
Well, I mean, we would not exist without the help of people giving in the U.S. And of course, we work with the charitable foundation that helps with a lot of the big expenses on the building side. So covering the cost of renting this property and buying furniture and chairs and things like that. That's been just the gracious support of a charitable foundation that the Lord connected me to several years ago. So we're very thankful for that. We are working again, you know, we're wearing like 100 different hats, but we're working on, we have an external accounting firm that we use to kind of help us get started and make sure we're doing things right. We'd like to get some people in our congregation who could kind of assist with some of that. Cause that's of course a cost when you use an external firm. They've helped us with lawyer fees and things as we had to deal with some people that were seeking to destroy the church early on. So yeah, again, this charitable foundation we work with, has helped with all of that. So we'd be sunk and buried without, you know, the help of people like you and churches like yours, but also of course foundations. So we're thankful for that. We, of course, my goal, I don't know it's realistic. I was talking to Gideon, who recently went to the TGC Nordic conference that was in Stockholm, Sweden. So the Gospel Coalition, there's a Nordic chapter there. And he was talking, met a number of ministers of small Reformed churches in Scandinavia. And, you know, and every, it was actually really encouraging to us. Every church is really, really small. They've all had the same kinds of experiences that we've had recently in their churches. All sorts of theological schisms and issues when you're just trying to be like historically Reformed, for example. But also a similar pattern in their countries and in Norway that there are virtually no self-sustaining churches in Norway at all. Most of the ministers are bivocational or volunteer. And I think most Norwegians are so in debt that they don't give. Churches can receive financial aid from the government, and that's how a lot of them keep their doors open. So as we look at this church, that's one of the challenges that we want to work on with our people of like, hey, is it possible that we could be self-sustaining as a church? Of course, for Deborah and I, we do not want to be a financial burden on the church. So as missionaries, we plan to continue to raise support and be here through gospel partnerships in the States and elsewhere. But my prayer is that the Lord would allow this congregation one day to be able to support the cost of its own ministry and to support a local pastor as well. So if we can get a local, either an indigenous guy or like Gideon here, who's from South Africa, that's kind of my prayer, is that we could be a church, or this could be a church that could move in that direction long term. Yeah. For our support, for us, year end giving is so big. You know, I think we're at like 77. We're receiving about 77% of what we need per month right now. But a lot of times, year end giving kicks in and covers that difference. But you know, so it's always a step of faith that the Lord will provide that way. The cost of living since 2018 has gone up 20% here over that time. So, you know, we've been able to make it thus far, but everything, you know, it's probably the same in the U.S. too. Things are getting a lot more expensive. So we're trusting that God will provide. We're doing well thus far. The Lord is keeping us going, so I can't complain with that. We were considering buying a house, but the interest rates and the prices have gone through the roof since we were originally looking. So we're planning to probably continue to rent, although we're hoping that our landlord, because our lease is up in March here, we're really hoping he doesn't really jack up the price, because that could be a budget breaker, just to put it that way. Mm-hmm. So everything is, it's Stavanger oil town post COVID, mm-hmm. you know, all of that.
Mm-hmm. You keep ties with the Reformed folks in England and EPCW or whatever they were.
Yeah, I do my best to keep up with, you know, everybody's busy like I am. So I do my best. I was supposed to go to Romania for a Reformed Church Planners Conference a couple of weeks ago, but it was canceled. And I was looking forward to catching up with Reformed Church Planners from around Europe. So hopefully next year that will be able to go forward. I'm not sure why they canceled, but I was looking forward to that for that purpose. Mm-hmm.
Hey, anybody else have any questions? Online? On Zoom? Judy, if you're talking, you're on mute. I'm sorry. There you go.
Matt, I bring greetings from the Barnabas class, and please give Deborah our love. And I've been taking notes, and I will share all of this with the class, and certainly will ask them to pray for all of your needs.
Thank you so much, Judy. Please send our love. And Deborah does say hi to everyone. She had to leave the office to do some kid stuff at school. Otherwise, I would have brought her in on this meeting.
Definitely tell her we said hello. All right, well, we are going to move to a time of prayer. We can, anybody who wants to pray can join in. Bubba can open us. Tom will close us. Is there anything else you'd like to add besides what you've sent us and what we've talked about?
I mean, just, I think I sent some prayer requests yesterday to you we're returning to our Walk Through the Bible series. We're now going to do the New Testament series where I'm preaching one message in each book of the Bible to give the big idea of each book, so that to give our people a foundation. So I appreciate your prayer for that. We recently did a 4-week series on the Lord's Day. You know, what is it? What's the Lord's Day? It's the Christian Sabbath. We looked at Old Testament, New Testament, evening service, and then warning for Sabbath breakers. What does the New Testament say about those who choose to forsake the assembly? And pray that would bear fruit. That's spurred on a lot of congregations with our people. And I will say we could be, percentage wise, setting records in the PCA for evening service attendance. We're small, but last week I think all of our families but one was at the evening service, and we've had very good attendance. I mean, it feels like a small group, but people that are here are eager to learn. So pray that the word of God would bear fruit. And these people that God's entrusted to us, I pray that the Lord would bless me and my colleagues who are preaching and teaching. Pray for Gideon and Peter who are finishing up academic work, or Peter's just getting started. Gideon's wrapping up, but for that process, pray for the children, you know, that are learning the faith, and that the Lord would grow our children's ministry. We had a journalist come last Sunday to just check things out, and then they interviewed us. I have no idea what her angle will be, whether positive or negative, but pray that the Lord would pray that God's people who need a church to be shepherded in would hear our ministry rather than rumors, and that they would come and find a welcome home to grow in the faith. So pray against the schemes of the enemy who seeks the ruin of this ministry and of these people, and pray that God would turn his schemes against him and would use it for the advancement of the gospel. And also just pray for the encouragement of the team and for Deborah and for our families as well, who grieve the loss of some of these people that have left. I was reading 2 Timothy, and maybe you could pray 2 Timothy for us. But, you know, Paul, it's been encouraging to me in this season. I read it in a new way as a missionary than even I did as a pastor in the States. But, you know, in 2 Timothy, you know, Paul is encouraging Timothy to fan into the flame the gift of God, you know, that is in him. And after that, I think Timothy is feeling discouraged because of the suffering, because of false teachers, because of just all of the afflictions that he and the ministry are facing. And he's feeling lackluster, just kind of like giving up. And then Paul goes on to use his own experience to encourage Timothy, where he says, Paul says, I've been appointed an apostle, a preacher, a teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. So that Paul is trying to get Timothy to understand that the reason you are suffering is because you've been appointed to the gospel ministry. And so it's actually a sign that you are on the right track, not that something is going wrong. And so pray that the Lord would encourage us with these things, even in suffering, that we would, rather than grumble or moan, that we would be like the apostles who rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the King. And so we would appreciate your prayers towards that as well.
Okay. Well, Bubba, if you would mind opening us, and we'll just move to the time of prayer.
Lord, we thank you this morning for the time with Matt and hearing about the ministry there and the many prayer requests that he has given us. And Lord, for Deborah, who's not there, but we lift her up to you and the whole family. And we just thank you for their commitment and their time over there. And Lord, I thank you that Matt seems to still be encouraged in light of the many discouraging things he has mentioned. What's going on there, and Lord, everybody needs the gospel, everybody needs Jesus, so I pray that you would give him wisdom as he continues to lead the ministry there, as they continue to meet. Lord, we can reach out to other people in the community, the Norwegians, really, Lord, it sounds just so dead over there from what he says, and even fact is more than dead. It's Satan working against the church there to not even let it progress. It's possibly to close what is over there, and there's not much there. So we just pray that you would be with him and the family as he continues his work there. He continues to share with the people, and that Lord, that you would bind Satan in as many ways that he is working against the word there. So I do pray that you would give Matt wisdom as he works with different people there, that, Lord, that say you would encourage him, that he would turn to you. Lord, I think about the stress situation, Lord, that he can somehow turn it over to you, knowing that you're faithful to take care of him, and that he can continue to work there. And the same for the whole family, which I'm sure it is extremely difficult. I could not understand living in a community that you had no believers, you had no people, friends, you didn't even have a strong church body. So be with them, encourage them, and give them the endurance it takes to continue on. So mm-hmm. I just pray that you would bless the work, he would multiply the work, that people would really come to see Jesus through this church. They would come to know Jesus, and the love of Christ would spread into the community, and the people there would understand. So I thank you again for his heart, his passion, and his work, and continue to use him and continue to encourage him. And Lord, let us continue to lift them up in prayer in this difficult place yes. they are. So again, I just thank you for this time this morning to hear from that. And I pray all this in Christ's name. Mm.
Well, I just thank Matt and Deborah and their willingness to go to Norway and to transplant their family there. And just pray that you continue to encourage them and show them what you are doing in that community there. And, Father, I just pray for the children. I pray that you will bring them Christian friends. And that they would have also a positive influence on those that are not Christians, that are their friends in school. Pray, Father, for this prayer teacher conference that's coming up, and pray that there will be some determination on boys' dyslexia, and that would be able to change their education environment and how they're being taught. And that would be a positive thing, Father. Pray for this upcoming Christmas season, and especially for Deborah's mom, that she would be have the strength and the willingness to make a trip over there and be with the family over Christmas. We thank you for some positive results in her cancer numbers. We pray that that would take place, and also be an encouragement to them. Well, we pray that Anthony, you're giving that would come in, and we know inflation is taking a toll on all of our missionaries and even us here at home. We pray, Father, that you would provide those funds that would be over and above and abundantly bless the St. Galleys there in Norway to meet their needs, both personally and through the church. Also pray, Father, for those that have left their church, the families and individuals. Pray, Father, that they would see the truth where they are and that they would return. Mm-hmm. Pray that they would not be lost to either the evil that's going around there or that the false teachings that others may be influencing them with. Thank you again for the staying Alex, and pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Father, we give you.
Go ahead.
Father, we just give you thanks and praise for this new location that you've provided, and we just pray that you will make it a place where that is a holy place where God's people can meet and praise you and worship you together. And Father, I pray for Matt as he preaches, especially this new series, the Walk Through the Bible. We pray that it will just he'll be inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that he'll just be able to minister to the congregation, that his preaching will just convict people of sin and bring them to repentance, but at the same time that it will just inspire and encourage and motivate this group of believers to a deeper walk with Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you just add new families to this body of believers, that the church will grow in numbers as well as spiritual growth, and that members will just be faithful to Lord, I just pray you'd raise up new believers, and then that the church would be faithful to disciple these new believers, and in turn that that then they will go out and disciple others, so that the gospel will just flourish through Norway. And I just pray for that this church will be a beacon on a hill in Norway, and that as it grows, that they'll eventually be able to even send out missionaries to other parts of Norway. And Father, I pray for Deborah and the children, and I just for encouragement for them, and I just pray that you would raise up some Christian families that can provide friends for Matt and Deborah's children. And I know how difficult that must be, just to be in such a dark place with no Christian friends. So, Lord, we just pray that you would make provision for them. And, mm-hmm. Father, we just thank you for Matt and Deborah and their beautiful family. And we just thank you for their commitment, and we just pray that you would just give them great success in the work that you've called them to do. And I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us this time with Matt this morning and hearing about their ministry. Thank you for his enthusiasm and his perseverance there, Lord, despite all the schemes of the devil. Lord, we just pray for a hedge of protection around him and his church and the people there, Lord. We just ask that you be with Peter and Gideon as they continue their studies, and Lord willing, that they will be able to help in the church and help preach with Matt there. We just ask that you encourage Deborah and the children, Lord, provide Christian friends for them, and even some of these friends that aren't Christians, Lord. I would just pray that they will see a difference in these children and ask the questions and maybe want to come to church with them, Lord. We just ask you to keep your hand on Deborah's mom, and pray that if it's your will, they'll be able to travel there for Christmas and keep them safe, Lord. Pray this all in your name.
Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the work that you are doing through Matt and Deborah and their family there and their faithfulness in serving you. And just as I hear Matt recounting words fall to Timothy, and that he would fan into flame the gift of God that is in him. And Matt's realization that this opposition he's faced there and continues to face is because he's being faithful to you, and that he would not be hindered by Satan, but that he would be strong in your strength and your power, and that church would continue to grow, and that it that the forces of evil were reminded constantly of this. It's subtle here in America, and yet much stronger there, that principalities and powers that would oppose your church, and yet we know that your church is strong, and that your church works by your mighty power, and that they would continue to be able to do that in the face of this opposition. And I pray for people who would be drawn to the church from the truth, that they would be drawn because they desire to be discipled, because they realize that the lack in their own lives, and yet that the gospel truth is being presented there in this church. Thank you for this fellowship that exists, and I pray that you would continue to build that. I'm thankful for the people from many other parts of the world that are a part of this, and we're amazed that Indonesians would be there in Norway, and yet not surprised at the spread of your kingdom and the reach that your kingdom has. So we pray that you sustain this, and pray for Matt and Peter and Gideon as they labor together, for these two men as they continue their theological education, and that they would be prepared to go out and to even be part of additional church plants. I pray for these two churches that were a part of this at Hanar and Ulan, and that you would bring biblical understanding to those churches, and that perhaps fellowship could be restored
yes.
Based on the scripture. We love that, even Father. We do pray for their children, for Luke and William and Penny and Mariah, that you would put Christian friends around them, that they would not feel that they're all alone, and if they would have this sense of being a missionary family, and just as Matt has been called, that these children would understand the sense of calling on their lives by the virtue of them being there as this family.
Mm. Yes.
Well, Father, we pray that you would provide the support necessary financially, and the spiritual, emotional support would be provided as well, through those there within in the church, through others in these other associations that that Matt can reach out to, realizing how limited his time would be to do that, and yet there are many others reminded of Elijah being told there are 7,000 people that you have preserved for yourself, and that Matt would not feel alone, but he would know you were with him, and that our brothers and sisters are with him as well.
Mm.
Father, we're grateful for this privilege of talking and now praying, knowing that our prayers, you hear our prayers, and that you answer our prayers, even as we've been encouraged through this past week. In all things, Lord, we give you praise and honor and glory. In Christ's name, amen.
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 Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Your love for us means the world.
Tell Deborah we said hello.
I will do.
All right. Take care.
Yep. Okay. God bless.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye-bye.